we present a tribute to a gay composer, Eric Coates.
Yes, a gay composer he certainly was. And in the last 50 years, I suppose no English composer of light music has entered the heart of the nation to the same extent as Eric Coates. His contemporaries would be the first to admit this. Sir Edward Elgar himself always bought recordings of his music. In fact, Elgar had a standing order with the gramophone companies for anything new that Eric Coates had written and which had been recorded. Perhaps the most important year in his musical career was 1933. And here's Eric Mashwitz, one-time BBC director of Variety, to tell you what happened.
I'm proud to think that I once did something, however small, to help in the career of one of the gentlest and most generous men in the whole long history of music. This happened in the autumn of 1933. I'd just become the first Variety director of the BBC. My job was to double the amount of light entertainment provided. This led to hectic activity on the part of my staff and myself, with the result that we got behindhand with many things, including the first presentation of a new programme to be entitled In Town Tonight. Indeed, by the time that Saturday evening came round, we'd only the vaguest idea as to how our mixed bag of a programme should be put over, and we'd entirely forgotten to choose a signature tune. An hour before the programme was due to go on the air, our studio manager, Donald Munro, dashed in with a heap of gramophone records that had either a London theme or a London title. Among the discs was one of a new London suite by Eric Coates, and the Knightsbridge March from it seemed so perfect for our programme that we settled on it right away. And how right we were. Though we only used a few bars of Knightsbridge, we received thousands of letters and postcards asking what the music was and who was the composer. It soon became a sensational hit as any pop song, with the result that Eric, who had always been a rather retiring personality, was overwhelmed with offers to conduct public concerts of his music, including, of course, our theme.
Thank you.
And next we have the present producer of In Town Tonight, Peter Duncan.
Whenever I hear that march, it brings back to me the memory of a man who captured the spirit of the ordinary people in his music. I first met Eric Kurtz nearly 25 years ago, but it was not until our 500th programme in 1949 that I persuaded him for the first time to take part in In Town Tonight. He'd always said a composer should only be heard through his music. On this occasion, we had a birthday cake in the studio, which we asked him to cut. The engineers had arranged that as the knife touched the icing, it started a musical box which tinkled out a tune dimly recognisable as Knightsbridge. "Hum," Eric said. "That's just the way I play it." Afterwards, he took us out to dinner, as he always did whenever In Town Tonight had a special celebration. On our 21st anniversary, we were broadcasting on sound and television, and I badly wanted Eric to take part in the programme. "Not on your life," he said. "I was frightened enough on sound. Television would petrify me." But eventually he did go on because, as he said, his friends were with him. Eric loved to entertain us. When he and Mrs. Kurtz came to watch the programme during the week of his 70th birthday, he said he'd only come to collect the In Town Tonight team for dinner, but we had planned a surprise for him. Mr. Barsotti, conductor of the Metropolitan Police Band, who were taking part in the programme, handed over his baton. To the delight of the musicians, he accepted it with a smile, mounted the rostrum and closed the programme, conducting, of course, the Knightsbridge March.
Carry on, London!
In his early days, Eric Kurtz invaded the Edwardian field of the drawing-room ballad. I wonder how many of you remember, as I do, those leisurely Saturday afternoon ballad concerts among the aspidistras and potted palms of the Albert Hall and Queen's Hall. Well, in the hope of getting a song sung at one of them, Kurtz took a ballad to a publisher and played it over to him and to Harry Dearth, the famous bass. Dearth loved it, but the publisher said, "Yeah, it's no good," and put it away on a shelf. Then, at the end of a year, thanks to repeated requests from Harry Dearth, it was grudgingly taken down, the dust blown off it, and it was sung by Dearth at the Albert Hall. Well, it was a huge success and started a vogue in that type of song. It's sung tonight by Frederick Harvey.
I sit by the roadside with great regularity, and I cracks up the stones for the highway authority. Oh, Wakefield and Brillow, I earns all my pay, for I cracks 'em and whacks 'em for ninepence a day. So I do now, yes I do now, all for ninepence a day. The sweethearts go by and the girls look so cuddlesome. What makes all the young men so moody and muddlesome? Oh, Wakefield and Brillow, if I had my way, I'd take 'em and shake 'em and show 'em what to say. So I would now, yes, I would now, I'd show 'em the way. I mayn't live much longer to continue my history, and what's to become of me, well, that is a mystery. So Wakefield and Brillow, like the stones I do say, you may crack me and whack me, but I've had my day. So I have then, yes I have then, yes I've had my day. Oh, Wakefield and Brillow, oh, Wakefield and Brillow, you may crack me and whack me, but I've had my day.
Well, Stonecracker John sold thousands of copies, so the publisher was wrong and the customer was evidently right, as he always is. Eric Coates' interest in modern rhythm, and especially the syncopated idiom, dates back to the early 20s, when the emphasis in dance bands was becoming increasingly laid on the brass section, and particularly on the saxophone. Here's a memory of his Saxo Rhapsody, played tonight by Michael Crine. Just now, we heard his first published ballad, Stonecracker John. The lyric was by Frederick Weatherly, and that started a long association between them. Weatherly, being a Somerset man, was always at his best in West Country lyrics, and one of their most successful was The Green Hills of Somerset, sung tonight by Joan Butler.
Oh, the green hills of Somerset,
The spreading of the gospel of good light music brought Eric Coates, as one might expect, into close touch with the BBC's present head of light music, Frank Wade, and here he is.
Eric endeared himself to London audiences year after year in the Royal Festival Hall when he came to conduct his own music during the BBC's Light Music Festival with all the authority and simple charm of the complete musician, and always generously allowed us first performance of a new work. He was our happy companion on BBC concert orchestra tours. His humour and energy were infectious, and it's difficult to realise that we all went out concert giving together as recently as last October in Norwich. The concert orchestra felt honoured to play for him at his 70th birthday celebration concert at Nottingham in 1956. Only when he obviously had writer's cramp through signing autographs did he ask to be smuggled out of a side door to avoid the crowds which had been unable to get into the hall. Affection flowed back to Eric from all musicians who were associated with him on these outings. Everybody gave their best, and he was so appreciative. One of my most treasured recollections is of a journey back to London by car through the night after a brass band festival in Stoke-on-Trent. Such gaiety from a man who really ought to have been tired kept us all awake right to the moment when we left him at his own front door at 4 o'clock on a Sunday morning. I rang him up later in the day to ask how he slept. "Never went to bed, old boy," he said. "Just got a cup of tea and sat thinking how beautifully that band played Three Bears for me." How could people help playing beautifully for him? Here is a recording of that actual performance of Three Bears, which he conducted in Stoke-on-Trent.
Thank you.
For many years, Eric Coates was a viola player, but he longed to give up orchestral playing and become a composer. With him, amongst the violins at the Queen's Hall at the same time, was another young man who also had musical ambitions. So it's not surprising these two young fellows became great friends. Well, here's the somewhat restless young violin player, Basil Cameron.
I first met Eric in the orchestra at the Savoy Theatre during the Gilbert and Sullivan season of 1907. The opera was The Yeomen of the Guard. In his delightful autobiography, Eric tells the story of our enjoying playing the viola part of the spinning song so much that the conductor leant over and said, "Shut up, you two, you're wrecking the show." Eric's first purely orchestral work was his miniature suite. It was first played at a promenade concert in 1911, Sir Henry Wood conducting. Here is the second movement, the intermezzo.
Basil Cameron, who's in the studio with us tonight, is going to conduct it. Eric Coates also wrote a suite called The Three Men. He dedicated it to the one man, the conductor who'd presented so many of his works over the air, Stamford Robinson, and the theatre orchestra. Robbie.
I'm going to conduct one of the movements from Eric Coates' suite, The Three Men. If you had a copy of this in front of you, you would see that it's dedicated to me and the BBC Theatre Orchestra, who had already broadcast a great deal of Eric's music when it was first published. We gave the first performance in the studio on the top floor of the then newly built broadcasting house. I remember how nervous Eric was to hear what it sounded like. But all of us knew immediately that at least the third movement, The Man from the Sea, would be terribly popular. And so it has proved. It's based on the sea shanty, Johnny Come Down to Hilo. And its refrain, poor old man, bears such a resemblance to three blind mice that Eric just couldn't keep that old nursery rhyme out of it. It worried him at first, but as he explained, there are always mice on ships, so he left them in. The Man from the Sea.
Next, an Eric Coates ballad, which I suppose has been sung all over the world, and accompanied on everything from concert grands in majestic concert halls to pleated silk front pianos with brass candlesticks in the front parlour. I Pitch My Lonely Caravan.
My lonely caravan at night, where flows the mountain stream below the town. One little countryside is hushed, and stars from heaven's blue arch above.
The BBC programme, Music While You Work, was a wartime product to ease the strain of munition-making. Eric Coates had just written a new march, as yet unnamed, and the BBC decided to use it as a signature tune for this programme. Then the question arose, what should the tune be called? Well, one afternoon, Eric Coates was in a cinema. On the screen was one of these American gangster films, and there came the inevitable police cop with the also inevitable Calling All Cars, Calling All Cars. And that gave him the title, Calling All Workers. Well, tonight, Music While You Work is played by Jack Emblow and his sextet.
Thank you.
And just as over the air, music while you work is generally faded out, so tonight was no exception. And now we're to hear the composition which was the last of his works that Eric Coates conducted over the air at the Royal Concert in aid of the Musicians' Benevolent Fund. For sheer beauty, he never surpassed his graceful tribute to the Queen Mother in his suite, The Three Elizabeths. This movement was originally called Springtime in Angus, Angus being the setting for her birthplace, Glamis Castle. The lovely, plaintive Scottish melody for the oboe and the perfectly glorious theme of springtime warmth for the strings provide the most haunting picture of a windless day in the Scottish countryside. A day when even the reeds at the water's edge of a loch scarcely move.
Thank you.
and with their tribute to the Queen Mother, I feel this is the moment to introduce to you the master of the Queen's music, Sir Arthur Bliss.
English light music is regarded abroad as having some quality all its own, a lightness, a gaiety, a naturalness. And in this field, since the death of Edward German, Eric Coates reigns supreme. If any of you want to know what he was like as a man, as well as a musician, just read his charming and completely unselfconscious book, called by him Suite in Four Movements. There he recalls his early struggles, his determination against advice to be a musician, his learning the hard way to be a professional, his happy marriage, and his climb to success and fame. Eric Coates was very sensitive to the beauties of nature and very human in his understanding of the problems of others. All musicians liked him for his modesty. By his gifts, he gave pleasure to millions, and that is an epitaph any man would be proud to have earned.
Thank you, Sir Arthur. I shall always remember Eric Coates describing to me the first recording of the Three Bears. He said, into a small room they packed Jack Hilton's band, Kettner's Five, and Alistair Reaton's band. And then he used the expression, it was a perfectly gorgeous noise. Yes, underneath a not-too-strong constitution was that youthful exuberance of spirit that prompted that typically youthful remark, a perfectly gorgeous noise. And in these days, the melodies that sprang from that youthfulness of mind of Eric Coates blow like a clean, healthy breeze across the hills and valleys, bringing an echo of that happiness which was the man himself. Good night.
That tribute to Eric Coates was played by the BBC Concert Orchestra, leader William Armin, conductor Willem Tarski, and the Jack Embler Sextet. The singers were Joan Butler and Frederick Harvey. The programme, which was introduced by Charles Brewer, was produced by John Tylee.